Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the World According to Velvet. This is Velvet reporting live from planet Earth, and today we have our special guest who has been on here a few times, so he's still special in my eyes, Robert Fitzgerald, theoretical astrologer. Now, hopefully when I scheduled this today, I scheduled us for a whole half hour. That's what I thought I did, but I guess this is the universe. The goddess is in control. We have no control. Okay, so Robert, you're back. And where do you want to take us today? What kind of magical journey are we going on today?
Okay, today, I mean, I talked the last time about like all the crapola that's coming down if we stay on the earth plane. On the other hand, one of the things that I've found as I'm studying astrological ages and how accurate they are, it made me think that astrology or the structure of the zodiac had other things that it could possibly tell us. So a while ago, I began reading about science, super string theory. And I found after a while that it dawned on me that there's a very, very powerful astrological or zodiacal connection to that that opened my way of looking at superstrings in a whole new and, I would say, like spiritually dynamic way. In physics, superstrings create a universe. Superstring theory talks about a multidimensional universe that has a minimum of 10 dimensions. 9 of those dimensions are spatial, and one, the 10th dimension, is the dimension of time. Now, in superstring theory, from the idea of physics, is that because we only see 3 spatial dimensions, length, width, and depth, plus 1 time dimension, that 6 of the spatial dimensions must have somehow broken off from this universe and now exist at the tiniest physically possible entities, so to speak, tubular membranes is what they're thought of as now, that exist at the Planck length of 10 to the minus 33 centimeters. Now, when I was looking at, when I was reading this and I had astrology in the back of my mind because it's pretty much my way of thinking in a lot of ways, when I came across this one description that there's 9 spatial dimensions and a 10th dimension of time, it struck a bell in me. In the zodiac, the 10th house or the 10th sign of Capricorn rules time. And from there, things started to open up for me. That would mean possibly from this theoretical, this non-scientific, non-mathematical, totally artistic, poetic perspective that the first 9 houses perhaps correspond to the 9 spatial dimensions that string theory talks about. As I did this, I got a piece of paper out and a pencil and drew my circle and things and outlined it. And in these first nine signs, 3 of them are considered signs, which means that because they're fixed, they're solid, immutable, permanent. There's no movement in them, implying to my mind that there are 3 fixed signs, 3 cardinal signs, and 3 mutable signs that make up these 9. So now that we have 3 fixed signs corresponding to a solid, immutable reality, I made the connection, or I had the insight that it's these 3 signs that would correspond to what dawned on me was 3 physical spatial dimensions, length, width, and depth, which is in total accord with what we see around us. Now, these other 6 dimensions, they did not break off according to my reading of the zodiacal string theory, as I might want to call it, is that these other six dimensions are full size, interacting with our three physical dimensions. We live in and work through them each and every day of our lives, all the time. So what started to come to me as I kept looking at this was that the three cardinal signs correspond to what I might call three emotional dimensions. Cardinal red, fire, emotion, dealing with the processes of creativity. So we have these three emotional dimensions that exist all around us, and that perhaps in these dimensions, what we call gods and goddesses, divine love, everything that we might consider to be spiritual in that creative sense, have conscious lives of their own existing within these three emotional dimensions. This is where we get, gives us, say, scientific or a quasi-scientific understanding of the nature of the spiritual that exists around us. Not only do we have gods and goddesses there, but at the lower level, when we die and we leave our body behind, say becoming ghosts, we merely leave the physical dimensions and become more enlivened within the emotional dimensions. The three mutable signs correspond to then what would be called mental dimensions. The mutable signs are all considered in astrology to be mental. The mental signs in the mutable sense is we balance the life around us with our minds. Oh, this is that, and this is how they interact. So there's a balance. We don't go off one end or the other into a state of non-existence or destruction. These mental dimensions then would be the dimensional home of what, say, the Buddhists would call the universal mind. It could also be where, when we get in the Bible, they talk about, say, St. John talked about the Word. God is the Word, and the Word was with God. He was intimating that there are these perhaps mental dimensions that God can be seen as a mental word, mind type of entity. Again, these concepts. You would also have on these dimensions, perhaps, archetypes, major archetypes, minor archetypes. You would have laws of nature, laws of physics. In the mental dimensions, yes, you would have the mathematical the precision of mathematical harmony. Mathematics is then becomes a divine system upon which physics and mathematics works and how they describe our world today. So all of this stuff comes to us from these mutable or these mental dimensions. We'd have also in there great ideas that are, say, universal, again, relating to, like, say, archetypal concepts. So in this universe then, well, let's also say that in my look at astrology is that time itself contains more than one dimension. So we have what we call physical time, which is time that flows forward. You can see it on our clocks. We go forward, we don't go back. Then there are also, it's like, what might be considered backwards time, and physicists themselves talk about backwards time, time going in both directions, corresponding to, see, like a length, width, and depth type of construct for graphing it. Forward time would be time going along the length axis. Backward time would be at right angles to that, in terms of width. So that in this construct then, time speeds up and slows down according to like how we balance where we are on, say, like a graph between length and width. So if we say like at a 45 degree angle, length and width are equal, time does not flow either forward or backward. Then there's a third dimension of time, which is depth, which then might correspond to the spiritual ideas of what we'd call eternity, timelessness, transcending time and how time interacts with the physical universe to go to something far, far beyond that. And then as we do that, then we might find, too, that time as we understand it on the physical realm is still time in other realms, but maybe totally different than what we understand it to be here, say, forward-flowing. It can take any number of different forms. So what this means, then, is that, to me, again, as I started to play with this whole idea, is that, say, love from the emotional dimensions, wisdom, or the wise mind of the mental dimensions, act pretty much like, say, mother and father, God, goddess and God. They can be seen as a unity, source, spirit, or we can divide them between mental and emotional dimensions, giving us the idea of God and goddess as, at least conceptually, separate, depending upon how we want to approach it. So in terms of creation mythology, mother and father decide that they want to create a baby universe, a young Christ universe, an Osirian universe, or, you know, the whole idea of, you know, the birthing process, the process of creation. So the six dimensions that comprise emotions and mind would then be, say, truly immense, limitless, infinite. You only get into finiteness once you start to create a physical universe. Within this six-dimensional megaverse matrix, there is a decision to create a physical universe. And it's created in a certain way, like a small part of their immensity is set aside. And what they do then is they begin the process of creating a physical universe within which they can explore emotional and mental interaction on a more physical or a more emotionally and mentally charged way, so to speak. So we have a universe here that is physical that sits within a much, much, much larger megaverse, emotional, mental, goddess, God, divine love, universal mind type of reality. Okay? Once we have a universe like this, in this sense, then time, as forward time, wraps this little universe around, and then we flow, and it spins in time. Astrological ages, smaller eras, phases, years, months, days, everything else that time allows for physical creation, not only to express itself just in its physicality, but in movement. And you can only have movement through, on the physical level, through a dimension of time. So what we have here also is very likely then that there are innumerable alternate universes side by side with ours in this huge nest. It's like eggs in a nest. We also might find that this nest has energetic values to it. So not only are they sitting side by side in the physical construct, but on top of us in an energetic level, so that we exist at one in one band of energy frequency, in an alternate universe right above us in a different frequency. This then allows for the idea that we are alive in all of our, in our present life, and as well as all of our past lives and all of our future lives, right here, right now, interconnected with all of these parallel universes that carry this past and this future sense of time, and that would be allowed through a three-dimensional time framework. Okay, so here we are today facing a paradigm shift that on one level, if we are dealing with survival and aggression, appears to be or is prophetically said to be apocalyptic. So what do we do with that? Well, if we are multidimensional in this way, then in our own bodies, love and wisdom flow across the universe. They're not stopped by physical barriers. They just flow right through us, and all we have to do is tap into it. The basis of our physicality is in our atoms. All of our molecules are made up of particular atomic interactions, H2O, two atoms of hydrogen in one atom of oxygen, or one molecule. But below that, it's very interesting to notice that in our atomic structure, we are almost totally space. In every single atom, the nucleus is incredibly small, and that nucleus contains the entire mass of that atom. Now, between the atom and the electron rings, we are comprised of perhaps 99.9999% space. Now, from a physical perspective, this space is supposedly empty. But in this multidimensional astrological perspective, it's not empty at all. It's filled to the brim with this vast, vast, vast ocean of love and wisdom. Okay? That is just flowing through us. It's not contained by the atoms. It goes in and out, and it connects us with everything, everywhere, because we are all constantly getting a fresh bath of love and wisdom flowing through us. And the only thing that keeps us separate from this multidimensional reality of who we are is that we don't perceive it. We don't believe it's there. So our physical minds, our brains, and how we see the world around us as physical only, we block it. We don't accept it as part of our being. So this is perhaps one of the reasons also why traditional spiritual practices focus so much on meditation. The meditation is designed to soften the mind, quiet the surface mind, the mind that looks at the physical universe as real, and get down to a more real level of mind, tapping into wisdom and love, floating on the surface of that ocean of infinite love and infinite wisdom. So as we are approaching what's coming ahead of us, then the job we have ahead of us is to meditate. We meditate, we get down to that level of that silence. That silence is creative love. It is divine wisdom. And when we're there, then the job, the trick is to awaken more and more and more to that, so that as we come out of our meditation, we pull that up with us farther into our atoms, and then into our molecules, into our organs, and into our entire being. And then the trick then is to learn how to stay with that, even as we're enjoying a physical life. Because it's not either or. It's not either be physical or be spiritual. It's to be multidimensional. So what's coming is going to present us with a challenge. And that's what it is. It's just a challenge. we're here to enjoy the drama of overcoming what life throws at us. And life is saying, hey, I'm throwing this at you. Here are your tools. What are you going to do with that? You know, and like probably any good movie, we'll make it. You know, the hero within us will arise. The heroine within us will guide us to where our heroic self needs to be and how we do that. This is the process of becoming enlightened. But like the Buddha had said, it's not so much enlightenment as it is just awakening. When you awaken to the wisdom that flows through all of this stuff, then you start to naturally become enlightened because the light of that knowledge will start to fill you up. As you awaken to the emotional nature, the divine love, the divine heart, what that is, you start to become empowered. You start to embrace the creative potential that exists within you. So no matter what's coming then, well, say if there's going to be massive droughts, well, then I'll create a new food source. It'll be around me, and I'll do it for my family and friends, and maybe my family and friends, if they're doing the meditation, we can start to process of creating something new, and it will be glorious. And that's like one aspect of the nature of the paradigm shift we're going through. We're not just trying to survive this time period in order to come out the other side and still be human beings with like, oh, I still have these problems, and oh, God, I hate this, and you know, and what's going on with me with that? It's we're coming out of this, and this process is apocalyptic process of saying, I'm testing you, and if you can awaken to your greater love nature, the divine love that you are, the divine wisdom that you already are, then we're going to transmute this universe we have around us into something more beautiful, something where prosperity is a birthright, automatic, where love and happiness just flow easily and automatically. These are images of prophecies or predictions given by great gurus and masters, aside from the basic religions that spawned up around them. So what we do then is we meditate twice a day, say 20 minutes, or whatever works for you. Get together with groups of people, doing that so much the better. Then we have what's called the N squared effect. If you meditate with one other person, so that's two people, you gain personally the effects of doing four individual meditations. If you meditate with three other people, so that there's four of you, I'm trying to keep the mathematics simple here, so there's four people in there, you each time you meditate, you gain the effects of 16 meditations. And then, because we are leaving behind the age of Pisces, we're still enmeshed in it, and the meditation is going to really carry us a long way, we can add in, at the end of a meditation, the new Aquarian religious ideal or spiritual ideal of affirmations and setting intentions. I want to become prosperous. I want my new health. I want this. I want the perfect partner, or that somebody that's dynamic and that works well. So then the process becomes, as a group or as an individual, you tap into that level of love, which is creative, and into those dimensions of wisdom and universal mind. By using the universal mind, you set the intention of what you want based upon the divine love that's in the emotional dimensions, and you start to create a little vortex within you that comes from the heart. That the heart is then becomes the symbolic, the very real symbolic center of the center of this atomic, intra-atomic complex of vast space. So as you do that then, you do say like 20 minutes of meditation and then like 5 or 10 minutes of affirmation. And perhaps you want to combine that, say, with a few minutes of personal affirmation. I want this in my life. I want this in my life. I want this in my life. And then you would combine that with, say, like communal or group desires. I want this valley to prosper. I want the earth to prosper. And you start to visualizing that way. And what you then do is that the meditation itself gets you down to that level, and then you use that level to affect what we see out around us. So group meditations, say like based on like 20-minute meditations and then 5 to 10 minutes worth of affirmations and setting intentions, both for yourself and for the earth, then can become a very, very potent tool, not only for your own evolution, but also to bring up, say, family members with you. And they don't have to be here. You know, family is always connected on a psychic level. So that this then becomes a practice for what might be considered the next paradigm. The paradigm where we all have that, you know, we're all living in this beautiful golden age of fulfillment of desires. Well, you fulfill your desires by being in that desire center and knowing how to fulfill them, how to talk about them in certain ways that are fulfilling. So essentially, this is the job we have. Going back, what I said earlier, if like 2025 to 2040 is going to be this time of intense change, and right now we're in the Gemini phase of the Pisces era of the age of Pisces, the mind, this is a perfect time over the next 10 years to really perfect getting into that sense of wisdom and using it in that mental sense of bringing it up and using it from that center of truth. And then as we go to that next level, we will have learned to ride the bike enough to where we can maintain balance. And then we can go into this next phase, the Cancer phase of the Pisces era, and start to create a new Cancer foundation based on a balance of the masculine and the feminine energy, the love in balanced concert with the masculine energies. Start to create something new. A lot of the world may be fighting against it, but we then become more and more and more powerful to where no matter what else is going on around us, at least we're creating a little bubble of salvation, a little bubble of enlightenment and empowerment within which we, us, our families, and our friends and our community can thrive, and that bubble will grow continually.
So as you're talking, you know, I guess I just have one quick question. We'll try and get to it. So as you were talking, you know, you were talking about how the cardinal signs were tied to the mental.
Emotional.
Or not cardinal, I mean the mutable.
Immutable.
Okay, so because we're in the Gemini era.
Gemini phase.
Okay. Isn't it a time possibly to get clear mentally?
Yeah.
I mean, that we can utilize it so that when we move into that Cancerian age, phase, then we will be able to utilize the great depth of emotion and feeling to manifest with the emotions of...
Precisely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
And the next time I'm going to a whole another level of how we manifest positivity in this time of paradigm shift. And it's going to have to do with holographic universe theory, especially the holographic universe theory of the theoretical physicist David Bohm, and how that has astrological connections that are dynamically powerful. So that's something that...
Okay, well, thank you. Thank you, Robert, for being here, and we will get you back on the show and maybe even next week if that works for our schedule. And I will continue. And I want to plant a seed, too, for something for all of you to think about. He only talked about 10 universes, but there's still two more or 10 dimensions. Yeah, but you didn't talk about the because you stopped at Capricorn. You didn't talk about the Aquarian dimension. Okay. Because they could also be tied to the spiritual.
These are just theories.
Right.
I have. And once we step into this, it's wide open to like anybody else taking it and running with it.
Right.
And what comes up.
All right. Well, you guys put that in your little noggins because we're in the Gemini phase. And let's expand our mind. Free your mind and the rest will follow. Don't be so blind. Don't be so shallow. Okay, this is Velvet, over and out from planet Earth.